But because of all the things in this service, it's sort of a shortened message this morning. But I believe the Lord's put a few verses on my heart and hope that you can receive it today. And it's based around our statements on our t-shirt. I have decided. And the back says, taking my next step. And so the ones that were following the Lord in the waters of baptism, that was their next step to take in their spiritual journey. Because we all are on a spiritual journey. It starts when you come alive to the Lord. And the scripture talks about that we're body, soul, and spirit. When we're born into this world, you're alive physically. You're alive in your psyche, your mind, your will, your emotions. But we are not alive spiritually. The Bible says that we were, in that sense, born spiritually dead. It doesn't function. In the beginning, when God created us, body, soul, and spirit was fully functional, and the spirit was the most dynamic, leading and guiding us. But because of man's sin, he died, and that's what God told Adam. The day you eat, you will die. And they didn't die physically that day, but they died spiritually that day. And thus, everyone that comes into this world comes in that same deadened state of spirit. We have a longing and a sense there's something more. There's something got to be more than to life than this, but we're not sure what it is because we just have our physical life and our psychological life. And so we need a spiritual journey. And the scripture says that the Lord has imparted life to us. This is what to be born again. Your spirit comes alive to the Lord. And really, that's what the Christian experience is. It's not just starting to go to church, starting trying to turn over a new leaf, believing certain doctrines. All of those things are part of it, but it's not the central core. The central core of being a Christian is that you become alive spiritually. That which was dead and dormant within you is quickened by the Spirit of God. You come alive. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this Spirit that's within you is to guide and direct you, the Scripture says. It lifts us out of a horrible pit. And here's the first verse I would share with you is Psalm 40 in verse 2. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and established my steps. And so, before we know the Lord, in this deadened spiritual state, we're alive, we're going through life, but we get bogged down because you're not meant to live your spiritual life or your life alone. It's to be guided by God's Spirit. So we get into all kinds of difficulty. We fall into pits. We get into miry. We get sucked into things. Sins attach themselves to us. They pull upon us. They dominate us. We become addicted to things. And they are destructive. And you can't be all that you want to be. You try, but there's things clinging on to you. I remember as a boy going through mud. Grew up on a farm and had rubber boots on. And you'd go through this mud and you'd walk right out of your boots. And because they'd just get stuck. And then you have to go back through and pulling the boot out of the mud. And this is the state that the Bible describes that we find ourselves in without God. We're in a pit. It's miry clay. We're held back. And we need to be set free. Now, some people say, well, my life isn't that bad, but it's still a pit because pride can be a pit. Prosperity can be a pit. You can become obsessed with something. And it's not so much a terrible thing that the world would look on and say that's bad, but it doesn't satisfy. And you realize there's a longing. I don't have satisfaction. I've been successful, but I don't have a sense of significance. That alone comes from God. There's a God-shaped hole in every person that only God can satisfy that hole. And so the scripture David writes so beautifully how the Lord has lifted him out of that pit, taken him out of the miry clay, put his feet on a rock, something solid, and now has established his steps that you can start walking with the Lord. Now, here's how Ezekiel 36 words this born-again experience. Again, prophetically, Ezekiel's looking to the forward and he says, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes. See, walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. This is the promise of God that he will take out the hard, stubborn heart and he'll give you a soft heart, a tender heart. And he will put a new spirit within you. And that spirit within you, the Bible says, brings love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. All the things that we really desire but we can't do in ourselves because we're bogged down. He says, I'm going to take that heart out. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. You're going to be born again. This was the prophetic word, and this is what it means to be a Christian. And then it says in Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Your steps are ordered by the Lord, every step you take. I wonder how many steps you take in a day. They have apps now that can tell you. Some of you already have it on, your little waistband, armband. Last Sunday, Kay's sister came down and her husband, they were visiting with us, and they had just got the app, wearing it. And Bob was telling me, he was at work, and in his work, he has to move and walk a lot. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the band went off, and there was like buzzers and vibration. And he said, I thought I was having a heart attack. It's just that he'd reached 10,000 steps that day, and it was celebrating that he'd reached 10,000 steps. Every one of our steps are ordered by the Lord. When you become a Christian, he has a plan for your life. He has a way for you to walk in. It says in Job 34, 21, this is the first verse on your list, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. He sees you. He watches you. He's got a plan. That's amazing to me. But you can find that reality. You don't have to go through life alone, misguided, falling into pitfalls, falling into difficulties. You can put your trust in God, and you can believe for the reality of his guidance in your life. But you got to walk in those steps. Walk in the steps the Lord has guided you. You know, many times we get pulled off the path. We start our spiritual journey, then we get sidetracked. Psalm 44, 18 says, our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Because you could. David describes a time when he almost missed it. And it's in Psalm 73. And this is how it starts. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. David's talking about his walk with God. So there was a time, man, my feet stumbled. I almost slipped. Now I'm going to read it to you in the New Life Version. And here's what it says. For I was jealous of the proud when I saw that all was going well with the sinful. For they suffer no pain in their death, and their body is fat. They do not have the troubles of other men or suffer like other men. So they wear pride around their neck. Fighting covers them like a coat. Anything comes, they just fight it off. They are so fat that their eyes are pushed out. The crazy thoughts of their hearts run wild. They laugh at the truth. They speak sinful things about making it hard for others. In other words, they laugh at Christians. They try to make fun of you, make it hard for you to walk for God. David says, I'm looking, I'm seeing them, and they seem to be prospering, and they're doing well. Let's go on and see what he says. They speak from a high place. They have influence. They have authority in this world. They speak from a high place. They say bad things against heaven. They don't have any belief in God, honor God. Their tongue walks through the earth. Boy, you hear it on the wavelengths today. Radio, television, those voices. Not honoring God, belittling faith. Any people that have faith in God. David said, when I saw this and I looked, he said, my feet almost slipped. Almost went off the path. They say, how does God know? Is there much learning with the Most High? I mean, can you really know God? Are you talking about God? See, this is what the sinful are like. They always have it easy, and their riches grow. For no good reason, I have kept my heart pure, and I have not sinned. I mean, this was the thoughts in David's mind that almost caused his feet to slip. Have you ever been distracted like that? I have. After following the Lord, you look around, you say, they're not doing what I'm doing. Look, they seem to be prospering. They seem to have all that's good in this world. What profit is to me? And you look at something that may have happened in your life and say, man, I'm going through a tough time. They're not going through a tough time. They seem to have it easy. They have money. They have pride. They speak against God. Nothing seems to happen to them. David said, my feet almost slipped. But then he goes on and says, I would not have been true to your children if I had not spoken this way. It was hard for me when I tried to understand this until I went into the holy place of God. Then I understood their end. He said, my feet almost slipped until I went to the house of the Lord. Till I went to the sanctuary, it says in another version. You know, you only see things in true reality when you see it in light of heaven. You can look at things around you and you can get pulled off. You can get distracted. You can be drawn down certain paths. And David said, I almost did it. I looked around. What good am I serving God? But he said, then I went into the house of the Lord and I began to see things clearly and I saw their end. Everyone's going to stand before God. Everyone's going to give an account of their actions. And then he goes on and talks about you even see the destruction in their life. After you thought everything was so good with them, then you see the destruction happen. And he says it's a terrible destruction. Listen, a life without God is not a good life. The way of the transgressor is hard. But you can look at certain times and say, man, they seem to be doing pretty good. And you have to keep your eyes on the Lord. The way to walk with the Lord is to keep your hand in his hand. And you walk in the Spirit. This Spirit that he's put within us brings us life. And then he says, walk in the Spirit. Notice how the verses say here in Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This reality I've already spoken to you about. When you are born again, you come alive to the Lord and he puts his Spirit within you. Now, that is a tremendous thing. But the Bible says it's like a baby being born. And then it grows and it develops. A little child is no more alive than a 25-year-old graduate from university. But the 25-year-old may have more knowledge, may have developed more of their intellect and talents and abilities, but they're no more alive than a little baby that's laying in the cradle and can't talk and drooling. And so it is in the spiritual. When you give your life to the Lord and you're born again, you have spiritual life. You have started your spiritual journey. But you need to start walking it out and you will grow and you'll develop. And you just need to keep walking in the Lord. And this verse says, if you live in the Spirit, if you've come alive to the Spirit, walk in it. Walk in it day by day, step by step. He has a plan and purpose for your life. You're going to reach your destiny. You'll reach your potential when you walk in the Spirit. Not when you go and set your eyes aside and you try to follow ways of the world. One of the ones, and I sort of skipped over it, but let me just go back to it, and that's in Proverbs 5. He talks about the immoral path and the woman, the immoral woman. And he talks about that path of adultery. And he says in that those verses in Proverbs 5, it's so delightful. The words are so sweet. It seems so pleasurable. And it entices us. Walk down this path. Yeah, I know. I know it's sinful. I know it's immoral. But it feels so good. And you start down that path. And he warns them in Proverbs 5:5, her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Don't walk that path. Don't be deceived by the world that entices you to take other paths. No, your feet's on a solid rock. Don't be enticed that gets you down into the dirt, into the mire that destroys your marriage and destroys your life and destroys many people's sanity. I've actually seen people lose their ability to think and reality because of paths they've walked down that have destroyed their sense. Don't be deceived. The Bible warns us. He says, stay on the path. God's got a good end for you. But you have to decide to take your next step. Everyone has a next step. On our spiritual journey, everyone has a next step. Where are you right now on your spiritual journey? Some of you might say, I can see I've stepped off the path. I've been going down this other path. Well, this is the time when you need to turn and come back to the path. And the beautiful promise of the Lord says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will take us back into that moment, and he turns all things that were meant for evil for good. Tremendous promise. That the things that were meant for evil, he turns it for good. Once you love God and you are called according to his purpose, it's another way of saying, I want to walk in your ways, Lord. And you renew your commitment. You have to decide to follow the Lord, take your next step. The very first step to become a spiritual creature and to start the spiritual journey is, and it's simply this, you need to humble yourself, acknowledge God, and turn to him. And ask him to forgive you and that you want him to guide and direct your life. That is the first step. It's called in the Bible repentance, turning. You turn to God. You acknowledge. You do away with your pride. You take off, as it described, those people that have the collar of pride on. You take your pride off and you say, you know what? I acknowledge God. I've not walked. I acknowledge you. I cannot do this on my own. I need your help. I need your strength. Lord, fill me, guide me, direct me. In that moment of humility, asking him to cleanse you and to set you on a solid path, in that moment, you're born again. He lifts you up and he sets your feet on a path. Now you got to walk it out. Your second step, the Bible says, is baptism. And we saw that in some of those that were baptized today. They're taking their second step. Because the Bible says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is burying your old life, realizing, hey, the life I had is not good. I was going my own way. And it brought the judgment of death upon me. But I've taken Christ's death as my death. And he died on the cross, so I have taken that penalty for my sin. And so I'm dead now. I've already been judged. And so we bury your old life in water. And you come out of the water to live a new life, to walk a new path, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the third step is right in the same verse. Repent, let every one of you be baptized, and you shall receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise we read about in Ezekiel, that he'll put his spirit within us and change us from the inside out and begin to work in our life. And so in a moment, we're going to have those that were baptized come up. And we're going to lay our hands upon them and pray for that endowment of God's Holy Spirit to come upon them. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit was given many times through the laying on of hands. It was just a point of contact. You don't have to have the laying on of hands, but it was a way the Bible, in the Bible, they focused through that laying on of hands to impart the Holy Spirit. You receive it by faith. You receive the Spirit by faith. Because the verse after that says, for this promise that the Holy Spirit will come to you is to you and to your children and all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That promise just sits there. It sits in eternity. It sits over mankind. Anyone that takes those steps turns to God, humbles themselves, takes Christ's salvation and says, I need your salvation, Lord. And you acknowledge God and you're baptized. Then you will receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And then from there on, you just walk in the Spirit. You just follow its leading. He guides and directs you every step, not day to day, step by step. This is the power of being a Christian. Not just going from Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday to Wednesday. Maybe even just sort of, you know, once a day at my home. But you walk in the Spirit step by step. You're going beyond 1:15. Now you're living every moment of every hour led by the Holy Spirit. What an adventure He has for you. Your path is an adventurous path. It is a joyful path. It is a fulfilling path. It's a path that allows you to sense His presence and to feel His joy. But you got to walk it out. You have to decide to follow the Lord and walk it out. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm wondering if there's someone that are here in this service and you realize, you know, I've never really started my spiritual journey. I've just sort of been to myself, heard about God, maybe gone to church a few times, but I've never really seriously decided to turn to God. I've never truly humbled myself and say, Lord, I need you. Forgive me. Help me to live my life according to your way. That's the first step. And I'm wondering if there's any in this place right this morning that that's where you're at and you're saying, I need that first step. I need to get out of this pit I'm in. I need my feet on something solid. And I want to move forward. One of you, does everyone just bow their head and close their eyes? And if you feel that way, I want to take my first step this morning. I've decided I'm going to do it. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Keep it up. Let me pray for you. Lord, you see the hands that are up right now. As people are just saying, I want to take my first step. And Lord, I ask that right now you'd make yourself real to them. And Lord, that you would just meet them in that. And that you will do exactly what this word says. You'd reach down, lift us out of that pit, put our feet on solid rock, Lord. And may right now in this place, may salvation come to many, many people in the name of Jesus for your honor and for your glory. Now, for the rest of us, if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to keep walking. I realize I haven't been intentional. I've sort of wandered. I haven't been intentional. But this morning, your message has prompted me to realize I need to walk in the Spirit. So, Lord, just lift your hand if you feel that way and let me pray for you as well. Just all over. Just hold it right up. I have my hand up. Lord, I have my hand up. I want to walk closer with you. I want to sense your presence every moment. I don't want to have one misstep. I want to take advantage of every opportunity. And Lord, that my life would be lived for your kingdom and for your purposes. Lord, you see everyone here. You see the potential of our life. You see what we could do and what we could accomplish. And Lord, I just ask in this moment as we just simply yield to you and acknowledge and make a decision in our heart, we're going to follow you, Lord, that you'll just meet us and take our hand and grip our lives and move us into your purposes and your ways in ways that we could never imagine. Lord, your will be done in our life. In the name of Jesus, for your honor and your glory. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Let's give him a round of applause. God is so faithful to meet with us, and he'll be faithful to walk with you.